Testing. Okay, good. All right. Hebrews chapter number 1. And look at the first few verses here this morning. Now, I see folks yawning and carrying on. I just preached on the Sabbath and the Lord's rest. And if you didn't get a Baptist nap in between now, it's not time to take one now. It's not time to take one now. Anyway, look at what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now listen, we want to answer this question. Now this series in Hebrews is going forward by faith, amen? Mm-hmm. If we're going to go forward by faith, we need to know who Christ is. When you know who He is. So, our first few verses, the author is beginning to introduce us to Christ. Who is He? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your mercies and goodness, and we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that on You, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I pray that You would comfort our hearts and strengthen us here this evening, but I pray that You would enlighten our minds and our hearts concerning who You are, and that our faith has found the resting place in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And You be glorified this evening as we seek to go forward, Lord, by faith. And I pray that You strengthen us and help us this evening. We'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First century Jewish believers were in danger of going back due to hostility, disinheritance by family, being cut off from the Jewish congregation in Israel. And this is the background to the passage of Scripture, to this book that we're dealing with. Paul, the author of the book of Hebrews, I believe, was challenging them to move forward in Christ because Christ is better. And at this time, there were Jews who were beginning to lose their employment. They were being denied privileges of the Jewish community, mental harassment, physical torture, public mockery, imprisonment, and even martyrdom. So they were dealing with things that were their whole life, many of them, was being upset because of the person who they were called on to identify with now, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. My pastor was telling me about a young lady who they had the wedding yesterday, and she married one of the young men there in the church, and the parents, her dad was a pastor of a church that was of different doctrinal persuasion. And she, just reading her Bible and listening to preaching online, decided that she wanted to line up with a church that was more like the church that my pastor pastors. And so she began visiting that church, and a little bit later identified and submitted to believer's baptism. And her family ended up kicking her out of the house, ended up kicking her out, and ended up doing a whole lot of other things. But the point that I'm making is this right here. These believers, they had some of the same things going on, basically to identify with Christ and His truth and to leave the shadows and substance of religion and different things like that. And listen, God wants you and me to know who Christ is, all right? Now, and so some of those who had not embraced the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were constantly saying to those who were wanting to move forward, listen, look at what we have with Judaism. Look at what we have. You're going to leave all that we have for this person called Christ. Look at what we had in our Jewish religion. We had prophets. We had the ministry of angels in our history. We have the glorious law of Moses, and we have a land and a brilliant military commander, Joshua, and we also have the Aaronic priesthood. We have the furniture in the sanctuary and the veil, and we also get to serve God in the sanctuary, especially on the Day of Atonement, the most important day in the Jewish calendar. And so those who were of the traditional mindset, those who were of the ritualistic mindset, they would have constantly cried out and called out to those who were wanting to move forward and who was being challenged to move forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're going to go to this and leave all of this right here. You're going to leave our history. You're going to leave our culture. You're going to leave our heritage. You're going to leave all of the things that we have for what? For a simple upper room, for a simple table, for some bread and some wine on the table. You're willing to leave all of this for that. But the truth of the matter is, this evening, listen to me, if we're going to move forward, we need to be willing to leave anything for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, listen, the author was not calling them to leave one set of religious rituals and pictures. He wasn't calling them to leave those for another set of pictures and rituals and different things like that. He wanted us, as he wanted them to experience, rather, we want you to step out of the shadows and into the substance of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this is about. And so the author sets forth the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, they were not in danger of losing their salvation, all right, but of confusing the gospel with Jewish ceremony and legalism, thus weakening their already weak faith and testimony. Now, just understand where they are. They had been Jews. They were Jews. They had been accustomed to tradition, and they'd been accustomed to the ceremonies all their life. And now Jesus is on the scene, and he's done the work, and he's provided for redemption, and he's defeated death with death, and he gets up from the grave, and he's ascended on the right hand of God, and he is the fulfillment of everything that they had been looking forward to. Understand what's going on. And so now they are being called to leave that. They're being called to leave the shadows and leave the substance and find your fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now the family comes in and says, wait a minute, but we've been doing it like this all our life. And we've been going this way all our life. And we've got all of these things. And you're willing to leave all of this for that? And listen to me. Listen to me. God is calling on his people to do the same thing. No matter what you had by way of religion, no matter what you had by way of tradition, if it conflicts with the person of God, God says, yes, leave it. Because Christ is better. Christ is better. And you've got to understand, if I'm going to go forward by faith, listen, so many times attacks come up on our faith due to the cheap things that we're willing to substitute genuine faith for. God says, listen, Christ is all. Christ is better. And you need to move forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. We move forward by faith when we understand who Jesus Christ is. Now, some commentators note the possibility, and this is always a possibility, that there were Hebrew non-Christians. Listen, there were people in the assembly. They held to the traditions and everything, but they were not believers. They may have understood some things about Christ intellectually, but they had not been spiritually committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have in here some warning passages and different things like that. We have another place in the Gospel of John where the Bible says some of them believed Jesus when they saw the miracles that he did. But then the Bible says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, for he knew all men, and needed not that man should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. And so Jesus didn't need another man to tell him whether another man believed or not. Jesus didn't need that. And listen, in any assembly, the potential exists for some people just to be going through the motions, or for some people to grasp things intellectually but never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are some passages in the book of Hebrews that we'll deal with as we get through the book that seem a little tough. But please understand, we know that a person cannot lose their salvation, as difficult as some of these passages seem. Now, the Bible tells us, according to Exodus 33:20, that no Jew could see God and live. Now, the Day of Atonement was once a year. The high priest had to get in out of the Holy of Holies, and he had to get out quickly. And he would have these bells around his garment that would signify that if he made it out alive, that would signify that, listen, that their redemption had been taken care of, or the atonement for their sins had been taken care of for another year. All right. There was no such thing as a personal nearness to God. Listen to this. No such thing as a personal nearness to God with this Old Testament system. All right. So God established a covenant, and he offered a special relationship to Israel with himself, that he would be their God and they would be his people. But access to God, listen to this now, access to God came as a result of obeying God's law. Now, when you read the Old Testament, how much did they spend time obeying God's law? Not a whole lot. So as they did not obey God's law, that wall of separation went up between God and his people. Everybody understand what's going on? And so listen, we read the Old Testament, we read through the prophets, we don't see that the people had their heart set on God. We read in Deuteronomy 5:29 this morning that God said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would obey my commandments, all right? And so the people did not wholeheartedly embrace God and obey his commandments as a whole like they should. And because of that right there, that brought the wall up. But by the way, that wall, when we disobey God, it brings a wall up as well. And we can't have fellowship with God. But it was constantly for them. So access to God was a result of obeying the law. But this access to God, listen to this, was always interrupted, because of sin. Sin interrupts access to God. So now God instituted a sacrificial system through the Levitical priesthood to symbolize, listen, the atonement for sin, which had been done hour after hour, day after day, month after month, and year after year. The sacrificial system never stopped, not to mention the priests themselves were sinners, all right? The system never removed sin. It only covered it up. So victory over sin was a losing battle. And so man needed a perfect priest, a perfect sacrifice to give access to God once and for all. Listen, man needed a perfect priest. Man needed a perfect sacrifice to give access to God once for all. Listen to me this evening. Jesus. Jesus is the perfect priest. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice who gives access to God. Listen to me. Once and for all. Now, look at Hebrews chapter number 10, and we'll get back to chapter number 1 here. But I just want us to see some things that you know, but some things that's just good to see again. The Bible says this right here in Hebrews chapter number 10, in verses 10 through 12. The Bible says this, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all right? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And the Bible says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Listen, the priests, they stood daily. The Bible tells us in verse number 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Listen, Jesus is better because of his sacrifice. If I'm going to move forward in my faith with God, I must not think that I have to hold to some ritualistic rituals. Listen, Jesus is better. Amen. And so, no, God says, listen, you need to step out of the shadows and step out of the the pictures come to know the person who is the fulfillment of all those things, because Jesus is better. The priest and the high priest, they never got to sit down because they were offering sacrifices for sins, often offering sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, notice the contrast, all right? Now, so in the holy place, there were no seats for the priests. But in heaven, there's a seat for Jesus. Why? Because he's better. His work is better. Amen? So that's the whole thrust as we get into verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter number 1 and introducing this book here this evening, as we tried to by way of Exodus last week. Christ is better. Now you think about this. I preached this morning about a day of rest and a day of worship. When we look at Christ, the fact that He's better, it ought to help us focus on this day that the Lord has given us. Focus on God. Christ is better. Listen, I'm going to give you some things tonight where, listen, you can go home the rest of the night and think about these things. And honor the Lord. Keep this day holy. Amen? So it's good that you're here tonight. But listen, Jesus is better. Look at verse number 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past, in time past, unto the fathers by the prophets. Look at what it says here. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Listen, in Christ, God has closed the greatest communication gap of all time. Listen, Christ is better because He's closed the greatest communication gap of all time, which exists between a holy God and sinful man. Understand this. Listen, through Christ, the communication gap between God and man has been destroyed. All right? God's communication in the Old Testament prepared for Christ. The prophecies, the principles, the commandments, the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the stories, the poetry, the doctrines, the warnings, and the encouragement, all the things that we find in the Old Testament, listen to me, all of the communication that we find in the Old Testament is perfected in the revelation of Christ. Did you hear what I said? Listen, Christ is better because he's a better communication than what we have in the Old Testament. The Old Testament pointed to the fact that He would come, but listen, He is better. He is better. This is who Jesus Christ is. He closes the communication gap with God. I find it amazing that in 1 John, where John, who wrote the Gospel of John, and he says, of course, John is one of the last apostles there, I believe, to live. And as he's writing the Epistle of John, of course, Jesus is back in heaven. And then John is laying down some truths about how we can have fellowship with God. And he begins giving God's nature. He says, "This then is the record that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." All right? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And what is he saying? He's saying, listen, Jesus closes the communication gap. Jesus closes the gap between God and man. And everything that God said in the Old Testament was true. It was true, but listen to me, it was incomplete. It was true, but incomplete. And so the author emphasizes the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the connection is the person and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why when the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," all right? So Jesus is better because He closes the communication gap. But Jesus is better because Jesus is God's Son. And we took some time to deal with the fact that Jesus is God's Son. What does it mean for Jesus to be God's Son? Here's what it means. It just means that He's God in the flesh. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that Jesus is inferior. We understand that. Doesn't mean that Jesus is less. It's just, listen, God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Jesus is God's Son. All right? He's more than a good man. He's more than an authoritative teacher. Listen, He is more than a great leader. Amen? And there is no salvation apart from Christ, the Son, who is also the Savior. So He is God's Son, but He's also God's appointed heir. Look here in verse number 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir, listen, heir of all things. The Bible says in Psalm 2:8, "Ask of Me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Jesus will inherit the earth and universe. This promise was never made to any priest, promise was never made to any prophet, promise was never made to any angel, anything like that. The Bible says this right here, Jesus will inherit the earth and the universe, and believers will share in the inheritance. Romans 8:17 says this, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Jesus is better because He closes the communication gap. He is the Son of God. He's God's appointed heir. He's also God's creative agent. We just quoted John 1:3. And the Word was made, or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We see this in verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, in whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Christ's ability to create proves that He is God. Amen? The Christ who shapes the universe and hangs it on nothing by His power can surely, listen, hold you and me in days of testing and trial. Amen. Hey, listen to me. When trials and hardships come, we don't need to run to a ritual. We need to cling to our relationship. Mm-hmm. Amen. Everybody understand? This is why Christ is better. He is a person. He's not some dead Buddha. He's not some Confucius or Gandhi. He's not some Mary. He is a person. Amen? And because He is who He is, and listen, He hangs the world on nothing and He sustains it by His power. He can sustain you. He can sustain me. Christ can do what religion never can or will be able to do because He's better. Because He's better. Amen? Listen, it does not matter. The Jews could never run to their system of Judaism and find what you're able to find in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Listen, Christ is better. Christ is better. You think up on these things, He is better. Why? Hey, listen, the preacher from Galilee has really big hands because he's God. Think about that. The preacher from Galilee, he's God. You remember what He told Nicodemus? He says, I'm in heaven and I'm on earth at the same time because I'm God. Remember that? Let me read that. I like that passage of Scripture right here in John. Look at what He's telling this man, Nicodemus. He tells him right here in John chapter number 3. This is what He says in verse number 13. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. Look at this. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. How can you be on earth talking to me? And how can you be in heaven at the same time? I'm God. How can you be on earth talking to me? And listen, and be in heaven at the same time. How can you be on earth and the heavens are maintained? Because I'm God. No. Listen to me this evening. He shapes and holds the universe in His hands. What is it that you're going through that He can't handle? If He can handle the universe, He can handle you, your universe. Amen? Because He's better. He's God. Now, Jesus is the glory of God personified. The visible outward expression of the presence of God we find in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can see God. No one ever will see God. All right? The Jews had their tent meeting where they had their tent in the wilderness where God would meet with His people. All right. We also have the glory of God in the temple there in Ezekiel's day, the temple that Solomon built. But listen, no one can see God and no one ever will. The only radiance that reaches us from God is from Jesus Christ. Just as the rays of sunlight warm the earth, so Jesus Christ is the glorious light of God shining into the hearts of men. Just as the sun was never without and cannot be separated from His brightness. Think about this. The sun can never be without and separated from its brightness. Everybody hear that? I'm talking about the sun that we see day to day. It can never be without its brightness. It can never be separated from its brightness. This is why when you see the sun, you see the Father. Because the glory of the Father can never be separated from the sun. Just like the rays of the sun can never be separated from the sun. Christ is God. He is fully God. He's absolutely distinct from God as well. All right? He said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is better. There would have been some in the Jewish community as well, as in many communities, who refused to acknowledge the deity of Christ. Remember, we're talking about who is Jesus Christ. And this is the author lays this forth to deal with the problems that they have coming from the Jewish system onto a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who had come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were weak in their faith, being pulled back by some who may have been intellectually enlightened by Christ, but having never made a commitment to Him to be their Savior. So listen, there are some who would refuse the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. James opens his book with the same way concerning the Jews. All right, he says that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And that the author of Hebrews is saying the same thing. And so the author of Hebrews confronts his readers with the inescapable and undeniable truth that God's glory is perfectly manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says in John 14:9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Look at 3b here. The Bible says this right here. "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person." All right? The express image of His person. Listen, Jesus is the express image of the nature of God. So if man wants to see God, he must look to Christ. This is why I heard my teacher say a long time ago, he says, if you want to see God, go to the Gospels. Go to the Gospels. If you want to see God, you want to see the hand of God, you want to see the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the patience and the mercy of God, you want to see the power of God, you just go to the Gospels, amen? And when we see Jesus, all right? But notice this word image here. The Bible says here in verse number 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person." Everybody see that? The express image of His person. We get the Greek word icon from image, and we see that word in the English. We see the word icon, and basically an icon is a precise copy or an exact reproduction. So listen, when it says that Christ is the express image of His person, now listen, in the book of Genesis, we were made in the image of God. Listen to me. But Jesus is the express image of God. Jesus wasn't made in the image of God. Jesus is the express image of God. We were made in His image, but Jesus is the express image of God. This is why when we can say, or Jesus can say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen my love, you've seen the Father's love. You've seen my forgiveness, you've seen the Father's forgiveness. You've seen my holiness, you've seen the Father's holiness. Everybody understand that? He's the express image of God, all right? Listen, a precise copy or an exact reproduction. Listen, Christ is the exact reproduction of God in every way. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Christ and God are one in nature, but distinct in their person. This is who Jesus is. Look at verse number 3, also the last part. The Bible says that Christ sustains the universe. The Bible says here, "upholding all things by the word of His power." You see that? Now, Jesus sustains the universe and everything in the universe. Listen, right now. Now, you got to stop and think about this. As I mentioned, He sustains the universe right now. He makes sure that everything rotates the way that it goes. He makes sure that everything operates the way that it operates. Surely He can handle my life. Surely He can handle what I'm dealing with in my life. Think about this right here. Let me give you some things. He sustains everything in the universe right now. All the laws of nature, He sustains right now. The law of gravity, He sustains. The law of food and boundaries, He sustains how the earth rotates. He does that right now. The tilt of the earth, think about this, is on an axis of 23 degrees. And because it's tilted at 23 degrees, it provides four seasons to the earth. Christ sustains that. The earth is never going to be tilted another way because Christ is going to sustain it how it is right now. Now, with the four seasons to the earth, the distance of the moon from the earth, listen, the distance of the moon from the earth keeps the earth from being flooded with waves twice a day. I'm not a scientist, but you can understand that because He keeps things in place, the world doesn't get flooded twice a day. Just imagine if the world got flooded twice a day because, well, one moment the moon was at this distance, or the next moment was at this distance, whatever the case may be. We're talking about God here is who we're talking about, amen? who sustains these types of things here. If the ocean floors were deeper, think about this right here, there would be an imbalance of carbon dioxide and oxygen eliminating the existence of plant and animal life. You understand, when God created the world, He created it, how He created it and put everything in it, how He put that He put in it, and it's meant to operate the way that He allows it to operate. And any imbalance of that right there just means bad news for man. Right? Now, God sustains it all. He sustains it. Right? He sustains it. He makes sure that there's a balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide and so on and so forth. Now, if the weight of the atmosphere was lighter, then meteors that usually burn out when they hit the atmosphere would constantly bombard us. You know, there are meteors flying through space right now, but He maintains the atmosphere so that they burn out before they reach the Earth. Now, the universe is no accident, and it is not maintained accidentally. And the one who sustains the universe can sustain your life and will finish what He starts in us. Now, the Jews passionately believe that Jehovah God sustained the universe. Isaiah 40:12 tells us this, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Listen, what they believed in the Old Testament, what Isaiah wrote, is true concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so the writer emphasizes that Christ's word is powerful and able to do what He determines. He speaks in the universe, and what he commands is done. So listen, because He speaks in the universe and what He commands is done, you and I must allow His word, His spoken word in our hearts, to accomplish their purpose in our lives. Listen, no matter the opposition or the persecution, understand what's going on here. The author is saying, go forward because Christ is better. Their family members and those of the Jewish community is saying, look at what you're leaving. The author is saying, but Christ is better. They're weak in their faith. So He sets forth, well, this is who Jesus is. Now, you listen, the problems that you have with your family and the problems that would come up on you if you disassociate yourself from the Jewish community because of your identification with Christ, please understand that even in the hard times that come along with that, you've got to understand that Christ is better. And you've got to understand that if Christ sustains the universe, He can sustain you. The whole idea is this. Sometimes we get this idea that, man, all we got is family. All we got is this situation. All we got, this is all that we're used to. And I don't really know how I'm going to move forward or how I'm going to make it because now I've got this presented to me. And what's being presented to me is calling me to leave that which I'm so familiar with. Wait a minute. Listen, last Sunday night, we had the exact same thing. What do you mean? The Jews were familiar with Egyptian bondage. And now God sends Moses in there. And you know what Moses is declaring? Deliverance is better than bondage. Right, exactly. Moses is declaring that message. And you know what they're saying? You know what the Hebrews are saying? Moses, leave us alone. And Moses is saying, but deliverance is better than bondage. And listen, I'm saying the same thing. Christ is better than the shadows. Christ is better than the substance. Hey, Christ is better than your family. Christ is better than your traditions. Christ is better than anything that will keep you from moving forward according to God's direction for your life. Right. And listen, because He is who He is, and because He does what He does, He is better, amen? And because He is better, you can trust Him with your life, and you can move forward with Him. You can move forward with Him. You can trust the one who is the express image of God. You can trust the one who upholds all things by His power. Amen. But listen, look at the last part of this, and we're moving along. We're going to be done, really. Look at verse number 3 again, because we're only dealing with three verses. Look at what the Bible says. When He had by Himself, look at this, purged our sins. He and He alone is better because He by Himself purged our sins. Amen. He is God's unique sacrifice. All right. Christ, listen to this. I like this. Christ is God's unrepeatable sacrifice. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Well, there has never been a sacrifice like Christ, and there won't need to be any sacrifice after Christ. Yes. Listen, He's better. He's better. Why? Because of His sacrifice. He is better. He is God's unique sacrifice. See, listen to this. Christ is God's unrepeatable, perfect, sacrificial provision for sin. Now, I want to say this. Your greatest need, the greatest need that you've ever had, and the greatest need that any man will ever have is to be personally forgiven by God. No. I don't think you got it. Your bills are not your greatest concern. You got to understand, whatever your situation is, it's not the greatest thing that you're dealing with. The greatest thing that you and I could ever deal with is, man, I've got to be right with God. I've got to get right with God. It's the greatest thing that man could ever do. And God met the need for your righteousness. He met the need for your redemption and my redemption in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that the sacrifice that He made will never be repeated again. This is why there is nothing beyond Christ. There's nothing before Him that satisfied. There is no idea of anything that satisfied beyond Christ. Everybody get it? It is Christ. There is nothing beyond Christ. His sacrifice is perfect. But listen, in His sacrifice, the greatest need that you and I ever had has been met. And what that tells you and me is this. There is nothing that He can't do. There is no. Now, you got to understand. Here they are. They're concerned. Man, if I identify with Christ, what's my family going to think about me? If I identify with Christ, man, I'm going to be cut off from Jewish businesses. Everybody understand what's going on? If I identify with Christ, man, they're going to persecute me. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to do a lot of things if I identify with Christ. And the author is saying, the person that you're identifying with, He's God. He created all things. He sustains all things. And His sacrifice is perfect for your sin. We don't get it. We don't get it. How do I know that we don't get it? Because when the circumstances come, we get buried in the circumstances instead of looking to the one who's better. The one who is better has met your greatest need. And the circumstances that are in your life right now, they don't even come close to comparing to what He did on the cross for your sins. Now you say, I believed on Jesus to be saved. What makes you think He can't handle your circumstances? You got to get that. You can't move forward out that. You can't move forward. Listen, your salvation is not just waiting for you in heaven. This is where we get off at. Man, we think, man, it'll get better when Jesus comes. No, it's got to be better right now. In the midst of your circumstances right now because of who He is and what He's done. Amen. Listen, if you're waiting for it to get to heaven for it to get better, you may not get there. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right? Because listen, life is difficult and life is challenging, but Christ wants us to draw on the rich resources that we find in Him. Listen, right now, and the one who hung the world on nothing, the one who died on the cross for your sins to provide the greatest need that you and I could ever have, is the one who is better right now, because you and I do not have anything going on in our life that He hasn't already made provision for.
Amen. Come
on. Okay, what's greater? What's greater than? Okay, what's worse than dying and going to hell? Let me just ask like that. What's worse? What's worse than you dying and going to hell? Not getting your bills paid? Your family writing you off? What's worse? You name it. You name what's worse than dying, being cut off for God forever. You name what's worse. There's nothing worse than that. Right? So He met that need. Right?
Amen.
So now you're the redeemed of God.
Amen.
You get it? So now, because He's met that need, what situation could you find yourself in that's greater than your need to be saved? But he met the salvation need. So what need do you have that He cannot meet? He's better. He's better. He's better. His person, His power, His provision. He's better. Amen. He's better. He's God's unique sacrifice. Jesus is better than the priest. Jesus is better than the sacrificial system. Listen, and so I conclude with this. If you're in here this evening and you're saved, continue to believe on Jesus. Get to know Him. Get to know the one who's better. Amen. Get to know the one who's better. Go to sleep tonight saying, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, but I know that I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
And because I'm saved, everything else is going to be all right. Why? Because He's better. He's better. Listen, for those, there were some in that assembly, they were intellectually convinced, but they were not saved. I pray that that's not you tonight. I pray that no one in here knows Christ in their head, but don't know Him. Hey, I was like that for a long time. I had all the facts in my head. I knew that He could save, and I knew that He did save, but I hadn't believed on Him to save me just until, like I said, 13 years ago. I knew all the facts. I just never believed on Jesus in my heart until 13 years ago. And I listen, churches are filled with people like that. I pray that that's not the case here with you. But listen, if it is, then you need to receive this priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept His sacrifice for your eternal salvation. Now look, think about this. What's the big idea of this passage? Here's what it is. Here's the big idea. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the author makes it clear that Jesus Christ exceeds all other people. Listen, Jesus Christ is greater than any person. Listen to me. He's greater than any of your pursuits. This is the whole idea. He's better. He's better. He's better than what? Well, take a shot. Get it? He's better. He's better than any object that you could hold on to.
Amen.
He's better. He is better than any hope to which, listen, he's better than any person that you would offer allegiance to. He's better. All right? Listen. He is better than the angels. He's better than the pictures of the Old Testament and the shadows of the Old Testament. Everybody understand? Listen, He is better. Why? Because of the salvation and the hope that He brings. He's better than the with the Mosaic law of promise. He's a better sacrifice for our sins than bulls and goats. Listen, the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ is better. Amen? Jesus is superior indeed to all others. There is nothing or no one in your life, no object, tangible or intangible, that is better than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message is about Jesus and how superior He is. Now, understand, let me give you a little bit more background because we're not far from there. As a matter of fact, we're right there where they would have been. In Rome, they would have worshipped Caesar in emperor worship. So now you're telling, listen, and you would have had protection worshiping these pagan deities. But now you're telling me that there be no God but Jesus. Well, that's going to bring a sore spot. But I said, that's going to bring some persecution. But listen, Jesus, or Caesar, there's not even a comparison. Not even close. Jesus is, what comparison? Jesus is truly out of this world. Everybody with me? Better. Better. You say, well, wait a minute. But what about the persecution? What about what Caesar can do? Listen, don't fear him who can kill the body, and after he's killed the body, he can't do anything else. Fear him who, that after he had killed the body, can cast a soul into hell. Him shall you fear. But he says, I've saved you. He's better. All right? So they would have been dealing with the persecution under this Roman nut named Nero. All right? And they would also been tempted to go back under the Mosaic law. And so God is saying, listen, Jesus is better. Listen, even in your suffering, He's better. Even in your trials, He's better. Everybody with me? Even in rejection by others, He is better. Listen, it is amazing. Listen to me. If you don't think that you are faced with the temptation to turn from Christ, because of some earthly entity or some earthly allegiance. You just walk with God long enough. You think, man, I'm settled on that. I'll never turn from Christ. And I'm not encouraging saying that we would, but I'm just simply saying their temptations were real. But in the realness of those temptations, we must look to Christ, who is better still. Who's better still? How do we apply this? Well, the ancients created idols fashioned of wood and stone. Modern society has idols as well that we set aside. All right? We got new idols. We worship gadgets. We worship materials. We worship relationships. We worship comfortable lifestyles. We even worship our children. Listen to me. Human beings have seen and experienced the limitless bounty of idolatry, where we place some created object or person in the place of the one true God. This passage of Scripture is a testimony against idolatry. Christ is better. Christ is better. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it that Christ is better? Do you get He's better than your circumstances? Do you get that He's better than your allegiance to some person? Do you get that He's better than things that you could spend your life and time with? He is better. And that's why I say, when we say amen here tonight, you can go home and you can get right back in your Bible if you want to. And you can look and take time and fellowship with this person of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand, well, He's better. Listen, it's well spent time getting to know the one who's better. I said it's well spent. I said it's well spent time getting to know the one who is better. What do you mean? Is there anything after better? Not in this sense right here. Amen. Well spent time. Now, Jesus is the one true God. Now, what idols do you hold dear to your life? Here's my question. What is it that you're holding to your life that you think, I just can't do without. I just can't make it without. Listen, stop believing that lie. Jesus is better. Yeah. Stop believing. Listen, what is it in your life that you say, man, this actually sustains my life? No, Jesus sustains life. Jesus sustains your life. Jesus sustains your life, and because He sustains your life, your job doesn't sustain your life. I promise you, relationships don't sustain your life. Stuff doesn't sustain your life. Jesus is better. Listen, you don't have to worship people. You don't have to worship stuff. You don't have to give your life to stuff and to people, because Jesus is better. He is better. Listen, but when the hard times come, if you haven't got to know that He is better, you'd be tempted to go back to how things were as well. Listen, that was the problem with the Hebrews. Man, would to God that we have died in Egypt. Why? Because even though they seen the goodness of God, they still didn't get to know that God. You see His goodness every day, but we never stop to say, He's better. And so when things get tough, it's just easier to go this way. God says, listen, don't put yourself in that place of temptation. Get your heart on God. Get your heart on His Son. He's better. He's better. Listen, don't worship the idol of circumstances. Don't worship the idol of people. Don't worship the idol of wishing things were like this when they're not. Jesus is better, amen? Right in the midst of your crazy circumstances, Jesus is still better. And because He's better, listen to this, He is the only person that deserves to hold this primary place in our lives, because He's better. He ought to be preeminent to you. He ought to not be prominent to you. He ought to be preeminent. What do you mean? Jesus, He's more than just important. Jesus is everything. And the reason why we have the problems that we have is because Jesus is not everything. No, don't miss this. The reason why you and I have the problems that we have is because we say that He's important. As a matter of fact, He's important enough for me to come to church. Or he's prominent. Yeah, He holds a pretty important place in my life. He's up there. We speak in this language. But up there is not enough for the person who holds the worlds in His hand, for the person who created all that there is, for the person who has absolutely delivered you and given you, met the greatest need that you have. Listen, he has to be more than just prominent. Everybody get it? And when he is not, that's when you and I have problems. See, when Jesus is in his place, and this is what the author does, he sets forth to show us this is who Jesus is. Preeminent. All right? Over your circumstances, over your relationships, over the things that you would worship as idols. He is preeminent. Those things are, there's no comparison whatsoever. And because this is Jesus, he's the only one who deserves this place in our life. We may be busy idolizing our move up the corporate ladder or placing all our hopes in our kids or placing hopes in some relationship. Listen, Jesus offers us a better position. He's a better priest. He's a better covenant, a better hope, a better sacrifice. And it's only when we give Jesus his rightful place in our lives will everything else in life fall into its rightful place. He's better. He is the only one you can cling your life on. And that's why we sing the song, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." The truth of that song finds its basis right here in the one who's better. He's better. Listen, may this Lord's Day and may the truth of what you and I have been exposed to today set the course for tomorrow and for the next day. Because guess what? The challenges are going to come. And the temptations are going to come. But he's better. He's better. Listen, you're going to have a week. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have everything. But listen, how do I deal with it? Well, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. He's met the greatest need that I have. You're going to have needs to come up before this week is over. And you've got to understand, he's better. He's better. You're going to have, listen, you might have somebody write you off and it would hurt you because of who that person is. But you got to understand, he's better.
Amen.
He's better. You've got to get a hold of that. If you're going to make it, if you're going to move forward, if you're going to move forward by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Nothing else has authored your faith. Maybe we put some things, we put our faith in some things, but they can't bring us, they can't do what Jesus can do. So this is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. Perfect communication of God. He's God's Son. He's the appointed heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. He's God in the flesh. Amen. The perfect revelation of God. He's the one who sustains the universe. He's the one who forgives you for your sin, the perfect sacrifice. He's better. He's better. Father, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God. God, I pray that even as we've taken time to think on this Lord's Day,